Please turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I'm asking you to do this for the fifth time in as many weeks because we are engaged in a series entitled 6 Weeks to a Better You. Week number one, I talked about a worthy walk, how all of us ought to be captivated by who we are in Christ Jesus, and that ought to control how we live our lives in this present world. Then we talked about a broken spirit, how in humility and gentleness and patience, we ought to forbear with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. We talked about a radical faith, one that is not just a blank check or a blind leap, but one that leans upon the promises of God and listens closely to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about spiritual gifts. Every Christian has a gift. Every gift is different. It's varied. All of our gifts are different. The church is crippled when we don't all use our gifts. The church is glorified and God is glorified when all of us put our gifts to work in the local fellowship. Let me read the text. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth? And he who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Father, as we again come to this passage to learn from you, teach us, help us, show us how to be better men and women, boys and girls, husbands, fathers, wives, moms, friends, most of all, better Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. While I've read the entire 16 verses most of the weeks, I want to confine my thoughts today to about verses 13 through the end of the chapter, because we've come to that section where I want to teach you that if you have a desire to be a better person, there is a commitment that you must make. It is a courageous commitment. It is, as the Bible tells us, it's the laying down of our lives. It's the sacrifice and surrender of ourselves. It's Galatians 2:20. Being crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live, but not your life, his life lived within you. It's becoming more like Jesus. So I'll share three thoughts from these few verses. Thought number one, if I'm going to make a courageous commitment, If I'm going to surrender and sacrifice, my life is going to be marked by stability. There will be steadfastness in my life. Not like one pastor said, an elevator Christian who's up one day and down the next. But there will be a real consistency in my life if I surrender and I become a courageous Christian. Verse 14 indicates that I will be steadfast in my doctrine. Now, a lot of folks today say, Pastor, I really don't think it's all about doctrine anymore. I think it's all about us just loving one another. Would it interest you to know that the greatest doctrine that Jesus ever taught was that if we love one another, people will know that we are Christians by the way we love one another? Would it interest you to know that God so loved the world that doctrinally he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life? Would it interest you to know that John wrote epistles in the back of your Bible, and that 1 John is all about love, and that love is all about God because God is love, and no man can love unless he is known by God and unless he knows God? So, yes, we are to love one another. But most definitely, we are to know what we believe and why we believe what we believe. Rather than being fooled, we need to be founded. We talk about behaving and living right and walking worthy of our calling. But if you don't know what your calling is, if you don't know who you are, if you don't know who you are in relation to who he is, and if you don't know who he is in relation to everything else in this world, it's most likely that you will never be able to walk worthy of your calling. Our behavior is directly influenced by our beliefs. And if we don't know what we believe, then our behavior is going to be somewhat inconsistent and not full of stability and steadfastness. So, doctrinally, we ought to know what we believe. Never be like the little girl who asked a certain question, said, I don't know what I believe, but if my preacher were here, he'd tell you what I believe. You need to believe something in your own heart and in your own mind and of your own self. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Steadfastness would not just show up in my doctrine, it would show up in my development. Verse 15 indicates that I am going to be developing as the truth is spoken in love, and I'm going to grow up into Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and held together. Your life and my life needs to constantly be adapting to the life of God and to the truth of God's Word. That's what it means to follow Jesus. It doesn't mean that he's just going down a path and I'm going down that same path. It means that in every area of my life, I am to find how he would have handled the situation and handle it that way. I'm to find how he would have addressed the person and addressed the person in that manner. I'm to find out what he would have done in a set of circumstances and do my best to do that in that set of circumstances. Following Jesus doesn't mean just going where he's going. It means living like he lived. It means loving like he loved. It means learning those principles of Scripture that will help my life to magnify him in my life, so that when others see me, they will really be seeing God and glorify him. I want to tell you, we need not only to know what we believe, but we need to know how to behave, and that's the mark of a real courageous commitment. That's the mark of stability, knowing what you believe and knowing how you ought to behave. And in your own devotion, verse 16, is a powerful verse when he says to us, if the whole body joined together works like it's supposed to, then the body will grow and build itself up in love. Now, let me give you a simple illustration. Most of you drove to church today, or you rode with whoever was driving the vehicle that you were in. Thousands of pounds of metal. There is a part in your car that weighs a pound or two, that if it were to be removed, all thousands of pounds of that metal would be useless to you because you've got to start the car to drive the car. Here's what I want you to know. Every one of us are starters in the body of Christ. In order for the church to function as it is intended, we've all got to work like we're supposed to work, where we're supposed to work, and when we are supposed to work. When you and I are not doing our jobs, the job won't get done. When you and I are withdrawn from our responsibility, all of the responsibilities will have difficulty being fulfilled. We can't do it without you, and you can't do it without us, and together we are in the bond of love, eager to maintain unity, showing kindness, love, patience, and gentleness to all so that we can emulate Jesus Christ. I tell you this morning, it will take a courageous commitment for you to have some stability in your life, stability in your doctrine, in your development, and in your devotion to God. Inconsistencies are the cause for so many struggles in our lives. Here one Sunday, gone the next two. Read my Bible this time, forget it for the next week. Pray when this mess comes, and then forget about God until the next mess comes along. We must find some stability, consistency, same every day. And our example is Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the mark of a courageous commitment would begin with some stability. Number two, it would include some separation. If you'll go just a little further in this passage of Scripture to the 17th verse, here's what Paul says. I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds, because they're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, and due to that they have a hard heart. So here's what we need to separate ourselves from: the works of darkness. We cannot walk as others do who do not know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. You say, Pastor, do you think that means we're special? Here it is. I think he's special. I think he's very special. I think he's worthy of my obedience. He's worthy of my fellowship. What Paul is saying is there's got to be a separation between the Christian and the way the world lives. My attitude cannot be a worldly attitude. My actions cannot be worldly actions. I can't love the things the world loves. I can't go to all the places the world goes to. I can't do all the things that the world does. I am to be separated. Come out from among them is the battle cry of the Scripture. And old Vance Havner used to say, when it walks like a duck, looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, and hangs out with other ducks, you just perceive it's a duck. And when a professing Christian walks like the world, acts like the world, smells like the world, and treats other people like the world does, you just naturally perceive there's something inconsistent about that person's testimony. You and I are not only to be steadfast and stable, we're to be separate from the things of this world. Not only from the works of darkness, but from the works of division. Back to the fourth chapter, just those first few verses. If you walk worthy, he said, a part of that walk will include humility. It will include gentleness. It will include patience. It will include forbearance of others in love. Now, can I just tell you what the street word for that is? If you are really going to make a courageous commitment, it means you're going to put up with some stuff. You never heard that before? You're going to have to put up with some stuff. Do you know what forbearing one another means? It means getting along even when you don't get along. It means you got to put up with some stuff. You're going to have to put up with some stuff out of your pastor. You're going to have to put up with stuff out of the other folks in the church. It doesn't mean you compromise your convictions. It doesn't mean you tolerate sin. It means we're all different. Your gift, my gift, those are different gifts. I think something's more important than you do. You think something's more important than I do. But when we put all of our gifts together, it works to build up the body of Christ. And here's what he's saying. There's going to have to be some sense of unity in your life. You cannot be a destroyer. You cannot be a divider. You have got to be a unifier if you're going to make a courageous commitment to the cause of Jesus Christ. And God, help us this morning to recognize that we need to get along so we can get along. We need to be in harmony and unity. So in harmony and unity, the world sees us and identifies us as a follower of Jesus Christ. So there needs to be stability. There needs to be some separation. And then I'll finally close with this. That brings about where we've been and where we're going to go next week. There need to be some new standards, and I'll just touch on this. Here's the standards by which every one of us are measured as we grow in Christ. Number one, how we act. How we act. Over there in the nursery, they don't act like we're supposed to act over here in the worship center. They fuss and feud over whose toy it is. We don't need to be fussing and feuding over whose toy it is. In the first place, it's not a toy, it's a tool. And it's a tool to build with and accomplish something in the body of Jesus Christ. The very first thing that identifies a child and an adult is how they act. It's okay in childlike fashion for kids to play a game at church. You're an adult. You can't play games at church. You're an adult. You've got to put up with some stuff. You're an adult. Don't you dare throw a temper tantrum. You're an adult. Learn to love in spite of, not always because of. We're supposed to be grown folks and growing folks over here. Now listen, a 7-pound bouncing baby boy is a delight to the whole family. But when he gets 2, if he's still 7 pounds, it's no longer a delight, it is a concern. Brand spanking new Christians may not know their way into and through the journey, but come alongside of them, provide some stability in their lives, and recognize that the mark of spiritual maturity is how you act. It's also how you react. Now get this. It's how you react. Are you patient? Are you kind? Are you gentle? Do you have as a heart's desire to maintain the unity of the body? Are you quick to anger, quick to revenge, quick to bitterness, and quick to resentment? Or are you reacting like a Christian is supposed to react? Over there, take my toy, and I quickly react. Over here, can I not love you and pray for you and befriend you and encourage you even if we're a little different? Well, of course I can if I'm growing and maturing and becoming more and more like Jesus. Not only how you act, how you react, how you interact, how you get along with everybody. so that the world sees Christ in you and marks you as a born-again believer. I want to challenge you this morning to make that kind of commitment. A commitment that says, Lord, I may very well have been on a wrong track, traveling a different road, living out of my immaturity. I want to grow up. I want to mature in my mind and in my heart so that I mature in my life. My hand only does what my head tells it to, and my head only hears what my heart tells my head to tell my hand to do. So if I want my hand to be hands of service, my heart and my head have to be centered upon serving others. If I want to be a forgiving person, it starts in my heart and in my head. It's not just physically what I do when I hug your neck or shake your hands. It's my love. It's my mind of Christ. It's your love. It's your mind of Christ. Make that commitment today. A courageous commitment to sacrifice yourself, even at your own expense, if it builds up the body of Jesus Christ, if it honors and glorifies Him, if it makes you a better person. Stand with me, please. And as we sing this song of appeal, there'll be some pastors here in the altar. Somebody might need to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Somebody might need to become a part of our church family. A couple of folks did in first service. Somebody might need to come and pray and say, Pastor, there's a situation where I've been terribly immature, where I've handled it in such a worldly way. It's caused anger, resentment, bitterness, and turmoil. I need to fix this for the glory of God. Pray with me. There might be a need for you just to come and privately pray about something in your heart, your mind, or your life. In these next moments, you'll have the opportunity to make a courageous commitment. Whether it's back there or up here, I really do hope you will do that.
My Jesus, I